Tlation Popod Bhashira Popad Ki Jai. The sage Maitra said, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. Please repeat after me. The great sage Maitra said, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and her sons would be killed by Krishna, Diti was highly pleased in mind. Purport. Diti was very aggrieved to learn that because of her untimely pregnancy, her sons would be demons and would fight with the Lord. But when she heard that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her two sons would be killed by the Lord, she was very satisfied. As the wife of a great sage and the daughter of a great Prajapati, Daksha, she knew that being killed by the personality of Godhead is a great fortune. Since the Lord is absolute, his acts of violence and non-violence are both on the same absolute platform. There is no difference in such acts of the Lord. Mundane violence and non-violence have nothing to do with the Lord's acts. A demon killed by him attains the same result as one who attains liberation after many, many births of penance and austerity. The word Brisham is significant herein because it indicates that Diti was pleased beyond her expectations. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the third canto, 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakans Vitamsha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before we begin, I make a humble request for all of you to please bless me so that I can speak something meaningful on today's verse and the chapter today. So just to take the text today, Prabhupada says towards the end of the purport that the word Brisham is very significant here because it says the deity is pleased beyond her expectations. So here, Brisham is translated very, very greatly. So I just looked up this word. I was interested to just see the meanings. And interestingly, this word Brisham appears many, many times in the Bhagavatam. And mostly the meaning is like extremely or very much or like here, very greatly, like that. But there is one text in the Bhagavatam, 117.3, which talks about the time when Parikshit Maharaj sort of confronted Kali It speaks about the condition of the cow. And it says here, Parikshit Maharaj observed that the lower caste Sudra, dressed like a king, was beating the cow and the bull with a club. Her legs were being beaten by a Sudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. Now here, in this that verse, the word brisham, exactly the same spelling, brisham, is translated as distressed. Seems like a completely the opposite meaning to today's verse, and mostly what how brisham is sort of translated. So it just shows us how this language, Sanskrit, is so deep and so complex that when mundane scholars translate scriptures, they get things wrong quite often. And this is the proof here. And this is why it's important that we stick to literature translated by Prabhupada, because he was a pure devotee. Because when a pure devotee translates it, he can understand, he can actually see where the meaning is, and he can put it to context rather than a scholar just translating it just from his expertise of the language. I just thought that was interesting. So I'll just repeat the translation first. The sage Maitreya said, hearing that her grandson would be a great devotee and that her sons would be killed by Krishna, Aditi was highly pleased in mind. So this, we'll just do some context, because it's been a long time since we've been listening to the Bhagavad. The last 10 days or so, we've been listening to wonderful sort of kathas leading up to the God Purnima festival. In fact, just a challenging question. This we are on text 51 now. Who gave a class here on text 50? Forgotten, right? All of us. Just the verse before, we don't remember who gave the class. Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. He gave the class here. It was 10 days ago, so you can imagine we've sort of forgotten already that class. So I thought we'd just do the context, especially because we're at the end of the chapter. So we'll begin with the end of the 13th chapter. 13th chapter was about the appearance of Lord Varaha. And at the end of the chapter, after listening to the pastimes of the appearance of Lord Varaha, Vidura asks, sort of, he heard about that. And then at the beginning of chapter 14, he wanted to know more about the pastime to do with Varaha. So he asked the question to Maitreya that, please tell me more about how the Lord and why the Lord had to come and kill the demons. So to explain that, in the 14th chapter, Maitreya Rishi begins to describe the pastimes of Kashyapa and Diti, which will, of course, then lead to her pregnancy and the appearance of the great demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So it's explained that whilst Maitreya Rishi was doing his evening prayers, sadhana, Diti arrives at that place, and she is struck by Cupid, it is said. And she wanted to unite with the sage. For she was also envious of her sisters, because all her sisters had children, and she didn't. So she was eager to have a child. So she went and approached Sage Maitreya. Sage Maitreya said to her that, look, this is not the right time. First of all, I'm in the middle of my sadhana. Secondly, in this time of the evening, we have ghosts and spirits sort of moving around. Lord Shiva is also moving around. So within because of respecting Lord Shiva, we should not commit this kind of acts, and this is the wrong time. So please wait for a little while, and I'll fulfill your desires. And he said, wait for a muhurat. Now, muhurat, normally we say like 40 minutes of like something like that. But in the translation, there, in that particular verse, it says a few seconds. Prabhupada says a few seconds. So even a few seconds, Diti was not willing to wait, and she insisted. And Maitreya Rishi tried his best. Well, I say he tried his best, but he made an attempt to stop her. But in the end, he also gave in. And then, of course, the act happened, and Diti was pregnant. And as soon as the act was finished, Diti then realized, because then the lust was over, everything is done, then she started to realize the mistake. And she started to repent. So remorse is very important. We may sometimes commit some offense, knowingly, unknowingly, but remorse. What's the word for remorse in Sanskrit? Anybody know? Shoka? Yeah. Recently, we were studying in our mentorship group, we were studying the etiquette manual, and it's Hri, H-R-I. Hri is remorse. So remorse is, so she started to remorse, she started to regret her act. And because she was worried that Lord Shiva would curse her, so she was, first of all, she was saying, look, he's my brother-in-law, because Shiva is a husband to Sati, who is her sister. So I hope he will not punish me and all that. So she does all that and makes her prayers. And then Kashyapa makes his predictions. He sort of says that because of this act that we have committed, we will, unfortunately, you will give birth to two terrible demons. And we know, of course, there will be Hiraksha, Hiranyakashipu. And so she was quite aggrieved, as you say, as this verse says. She was very aggrieved to the fact that she will have be born. She will have two demons, and these demons is describing in detail that they will constantly trouble the whole world. They will kill the poor, faultless people. They will torture women, and they will enrage great souls. And then he says, the Lord Himself will descend to kill them, to deliver them. So this to Diti was good news. Because she was a very learned person, of course, she was the daughter of Daksha Prajapati, wife of Kashyapa, very learned. So she understood that, because when Kashyapa said that she will enrage great souls, so she was concerned that if my sons get cursed by brahmanas, that's a disaster. Because if somebody is cursed by a brahmana, then his destination is very, very poor for a very, very long time. Because she was concerned about that, then she heard that the Lord will descend to kill them, so she became happy. Okay, fine, this has happened, and I'll have demons, but at least they will be delivered by the Lord Himself. So it is said that, generally speaking, the Lord doesn't have to come to destroy anything. By his will, everything can happen. He's got Maya here, Mahamaya, who can do whatever Krishna wants him to do. He has got Yamaraj to punish the souls. So when Lord Himself comes down to kill somebody, then that is very auspicious. It should be understood that those souls are very, very fortunate. And we know, of course, all these things have a backstory. And this is like a pastime of Lord Krishna. And we know that Jay and Vijay sort of took these birds to fulfill the Lord's wish to have Viryaras. So, but then she was happy at least that would happen. Then she was also pleased that... I was going to say, the Lord can make many arrangements to punish miscreants. Like he can create wars, like we are seeing right now, what's going on in the Middle East, right? When there's a lot of demons there, he can create wars so that two countries can get together and fight and destroy the demons. He can, Prabhupada once said in a lecture that sometimes a teacher, when two boys are naughty, so what he will do is he'll tell one boy, okay, you hold his ear, and other boy, you hold his ear. So let both of them hold each other's ears and say, now twist as hard as you can. So now the teacher is not giving any punishment. The two boys are giving punishment to each other. So Krishna can arrange things like that. So you can sort of, people can get destroyed. So when he descends, so of course it is something very, very auspicious for the person. And then, of course, his prediction, Kashyapa's prediction was that your grandson will be a great devotee. Now, this is great news, fantastic news. It's described that he will be a great devotee. He will be equally famous as the Lord himself, he will be a Maha Bhagavata. And he will have all good qualities, Gunakara. And he will be virtuous. Virtuous. The word for virtuous is Alampata. Alampata. So this Lampata word comes somewhere in a famous prayer. Where does it come? Anybody? Shikshastakam, last verse, right? Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karoti va yatha tatha va vidatatu lampato mat prananata satunasa eva bhavara. So here, lampato. So lampato means, actually in that verse, lampato is described, is translated as debauchee. Debauchee means, debauchee is a word we don't use nowadays, but debauchee means somebody who is without moral restraint, right? So he says, you're here in this verse, the thing is, you may be a debauchee, but I still, you're my Lord, birth after birth. But here is Alampata, which means the opposite. So he will be, he'll have all good qualities. So then this brings us to today's verse, and now it's explaining that Diti is very pleased because of these things. And it goes on to sort of glorify Lord. Actually, before this, Kashyapa has already glorified Prahlad Maharaj in many, many different ways. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, since the Lord is absolute, his acts of violence and non-violence are both on the absolute platform. A demon killed by him attains the same result as one who attains liberation after many, many births of penance and austerity. So you see, yogis, jnana yogis certainly, they do severe penance for many, many lifetimes to get to a stage of impersonal sort of liberation, like a Brahma, to get to Brahma Jyoti. It takes them a lot of effort, many, many lifetimes to do that. So here it's said that when a person is born and a person becomes a great devotee of the Lord, then he achieves that same result that those yogis achieve after many, many lifetimes, just simply by becoming a devotee of the Lord. And so this is a fantastic side effect of being a devotee, that we actually get released here. But it's said here that, okay, pure devotees of the Lord, of course, are not looking for that kind of liberation. We don't want to go to Brahma Jyoti. We don't want to merge in the existence of Krishna. So our destination is the Vaikuntha, or rather, Golok Vrindavan. But the yogis, they, of course, are meditating on the Brahma Jyoti. But so this is where when Krishna, it says that he's absolute, so his violence and non-violence is the same effects. So he can bless a devotee, and he can also, when he kills a demon, he can also liberate them, right? So those demons are liberated without the penance and austerity. There's a whole list of demons that we can speak about, but in the view of time, I think we will skip that. It's an interesting list of demons, what they did and how the Lord got rid of them, and then inner meaning of their sort of their existence and aparadhas. Anyway, so Diti was pleased that her son will be favored, and his grandson will be a great devotee. So when a person becomes a pure devotee, first thing that happens, that he is absorbed. He is released from all kinds of debts. Now, he says many times, you know, sometimes if you owe money to somebody and the person says, oh, no, don't worry, pay me later. He says, no, I must pay you now. I must, you know, settle my dues, because I don't want to come back again to settle my dues. So if you've left some untidy business, then you have to come back for it. So any debts that you have not fulfilled, you have to come back for that. So we all have many, many debts to many, many personalities. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gonita ki jai, Chakrat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So there's a verse in the 11th canto of the 5th chapter of text 41 where these debts are explained, and also explained what happens to devotees. So this verse Achyutananda Achyuta knows this verse. Devarshi bhutapta niram pittinam. Devarshi bhutapta niram pittinam. So devarshi, this is a sandhi. So two words, deva and rishi. So we all indebted to devas and rishis. So devas, because the devas are arranging all the natural resources for us. The devas are arranging the rain and the sunshine and everything, without which we can't survive. So we are indebted to them. You know, when we use electricity, we get a bill at the end of the month. We have to pay that debt. But the Lord is arranging us to give us sunlight throughout our lifetime. Do we ever think that I owe something to that, a debt? No, but we are actually indebted. And in the generally speaking, there are different tapasyas people have to do to actually counter, to fulfill those debts. But here it says, Devarshi, Bhut, Rishi. Rishis means these rishis who have given us wonderful literature that we can try and learn and make success of our human life. Rishis, that's why we owe them a debt. Bhuta, Bhutapta, again, Bhutapta is two words, Bhuta and Apta. So Bhuta means living entities. So it could be even animals like cows, bulls that give us all the service in the terms of milk and plowing the land and all that. Apta means friends and relatives, people are close to us. We are indebted to them as well because they've done us a lot of favors during our lifetime. And then Rinam means of general people, ordinary people, many, many people we have with debts to pay in terms of their favors to us. Pitrinam, our forefathers. Because of our forefathers, we have this body, so we have a debt to them. So this is all these debts we have, all of us. But he says, Na kinkaro nayam vrinita rajan. Na kinkaro. Kinkaro means, kinkaro actually means servant. But here it means kinkaro, so we don't. Na kinkaro nayam vrinita. We are not rini, runi. In Gujarati we say runi. When somebody does a favor to us, we say, I am hutaro rinishu. I am. So I am in debt to you now because you've done this favor to me. Just like Krishna says to the gopis, right? That the debt of all your love I cannot repay ever. I don't have anything to repay you. But just be satisfied in just me being here, kind of something like that, right? So Rini. So we're not Rini. It says this verse says that all of us are not Rini to all these debts if Sarvatmaya Sharanam Sarmasaranam Sharaniyam. If we take the shelter of the one who gives liberation, who gives shelter, who is worthy of giving shelter to the whole world, Mukunda. Kato Mukundam Parihitta Kartam. So one who takes shelter of Mukunda, so a pure devotee, is no more a debtor to all these different personalities. So this is one thing. So a devotee is himself released from all these debts. That means he can be free to go back to the spiritual world at the end of his life. No need to come back, no debts. The other reason why Diti is so pleased is because she says, okay, I myself may have now committed this kind of sin, so I am not a pure person. I'm not a pure devotee. But it is said that when a family as a pure devotee in the family, then his 21 generations become liberated. So Diti is thinking, okay, at least now, because of my son, my grandson, all of us, me and all the generations, will be liberated. So that's another reason why she was pleased. So this thing about 21 generations, sometimes we hear different numbers, right? 7 generations, 14 generations. So I was doing some research about this, and there was in the Bhagavatam, the 21 is sort of mentioned here, Bhagavatam 7th canto, chapter 10, text 18, where the Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Prahlad, this is Prahlad Maharaj, when Prahlad Maharaj was asked to take a boon, he said, like, I want nothing. I just want to be in your service all the time. But please, release my father from his sins because he has been very sinful. But that's what I see. Imagine, he is the one who was tortured by his father, but he is asking the Lord to do a favor to his father. So in reply to that, the Lord is saying that, my dear Prahlad, O most pure one, O saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. Great, isn't it? Then, I've got a point here which I'm not sure why I put it here. Sometimes this happens. You're thinking something and then it's right now it doesn't seem to sort of fit. Okay. Okay, no problem. So then, again, I was reading articles about this, trying to figure out 7 and 14 and all that. So there was an article I came across from Ramabad Swami. Ramabad Swami has quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very interesting. So he says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that when a great devotee is born in a family, and if that devotee is Uttam Bhagavata, Mahabhagavata, then 100 generations are delivered. So for Uttam Bhagavata, 100 generations are delivered. And he says, if the devotee is a Madhyam Bhagavata, Madhyam Adhikari, then 14 generations are delivered. And then I'm thinking, well, for me there's no hope at all, right? But then he says, amazingly, so even if when a neophyte devotee, Kanishta Adhikari, is in a family, at least 3 generations are delivered. So of course, I'm not even a Kanishta yet. I'm trying to be a devotee, but at least we have some hope that we may not get to Madhyam or Uttama, but we may be able to, we have a small chance we can get to, with the mercy of Krishna, with the mercy of the devotees, perhaps we can get to the Kanishta Adhikari, and at least the 3 generations then will be delivered. So how does this principle work? So it's not just sentiment, right? It is said that these generations are delivered because of a few things is listed here. The devotee's purity. Because the devotee is so pure, that's why this happens. Because of the Lord's affection for his devotees, this is why it happens. Because of devotee's prayers for his family, this is why it happens. Because when we pray, of course, we are praying to the Lord for our family. We always have that, right? Family. First of all, my own family, my wife, my children, and then my extended family, and then my community. We always sort of pray. And before we came to Krishna consciousness, our prayers used to be, please, you know, give us wealth, give us happiness, give us a nice wife, give us nice education, all those things. But now we pray that please, please, please engage all my friends and family in Krishna consciousness. So by the devotees' prayers, this happens. And by the spiritual influence of the activities of that devotee within this life, because of his potent activities, spiritual activities, these things happen. And also the Lord's desire to glorify his devotee. Because the Lord wants to glorify his devotee, so because of that, he delivers so many generations. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashva chantim nigachati kontaya prati jani hi namme bhakta pranashyati. He says, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. Declare it boldly, O Sana Kunti, that my devotee never perishes. So here, the devotee, not just the devotee, but this protection that the Lord is talking about here, that my devotee will never perish, is not protecting the body, as we have heard many times before. The Lord protects our soul. So this protection is extended to the devotee's family. Not just the family, immediate family and the current family, but so many generations before and after. So sometimes even if we make some offenses, we may commit some sinful action, like in this case Diti has done. So the verse before this 9:31 that we just spoke about, Bhagavad Gita 9:30, what does it say? Apichesuda duracharo pajante mam ananya bhag sadhu eva sumantavya samyak vyavahita isa. It is said that even if one commits the most abominable action, if he's a devotee, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. Prabhupada translates that right there. So that, even if somebody is extremely fallen by accident, he will recover quickly and he will get all good results. So just I go back shortly to the demons who were delivered. So the Putana was first on the list. Putana was, how was she delivered? Yeah, sucking the life air out of her. And then what Putana represents, it says, with anarthas do this sort of devotees, do those demons represent. False nurturing, deceit. That's the anarthas that Putana represents. And then Sakatasura was delivered by a kick. So he's anartha. He represents the anartha of burden of old habits. You know, burden on the cart, right? Burden of old habits and stagnant karma. And then Dhenukasura. Dhenukasura, Balram and Krishna, they killed him by just in the Tala forest, right? And there is stubborn ignorance. That is his anartha. And then Keshi demon, was killed by Krishna by putting his arm through his mouth. And the anartha that he represents is false ego and arrogance. So that's why it's a wonderful list of all different kinds of demons and their anarthas. So, wonderful chapter, ending very nicely, a happy ending, in despite the mishaps that happened. We're going to next move on to the descriptions of the kingdom of God, very nice chapter 15. So we look forward to devotees' wonderful presentations on that chapter. But in the meantime, 8:30 now, so any comments, any questions? Yes, Achyuta Prabhu. Microphone, please. Who's got the mic? We'll just wait for the mic for the benefit of the people online. Yes, Prabhu, go on. You got the mic.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Kabja Barwan, right?
Sorry?
Kabja Barwan. Which means if you got the mic.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. How specifically is the person purified or liberated if someone is a devotee in the family? Is it like they don't have to do anything and all of a sudden they become devotees, or all of a sudden they go back to Godhead or become purified? So how does it specifically work?
Good. Very good question. So of course, I'm speculating a little bit. First of all, the way it's described here, because of the devotee, the Lord is given his mercy through the generations. So it's causeless. Causeless meaning that those people don't have to do anything really, because it's causeless mercy. Because of that devotee, the generations are delivered by the Lord's mercy. So one thing is, yes, they may not have to do anything, automatically they will be delivered. But also, there may be instances where the Lord will give them intelligence to become devotees themselves and then get delivered like that. But I think the broader meaning is that it's causeless. Because once the Lord has given his promise, it will happen. So this is that's why it is such a great benefit for the family when the devotee is born in the family. Hope it makes sense. Do you have your own light on that problem?
No.
Yeah. Thank you. Achyutananda Prabhu.
Thank you, Ruji. Regarding this verse, Devarshi Bhutatvandrinam Pitrinam, sometimes this verse is used by devotees for escapism. In 21st century, nobody wants to perform rituals. People want to keep it to as minimum as possible. Hmm. And even if somebody is a one-rounder, that fellow will quote this verse and say, this verse is saying, I'm not indebted. But the interesting thing in this verse is it says, Sarvatmana, one who is fully surrendered,
yes,
he is not indebted. So how to figure out when can we stop these rituals, etc.
Yeah. So I think the answer is in your question already. So basically, yes, I meant to say that actually, but I missed it out. That this applies. We cannot take this verse and say, okay, fine, I'm a devotee. I go to the temple every Sunday and I offer something in the hundi. So I'm a devotee. So I now do not owe any debt to anybody. No, it doesn't apply like that. It says sarvatma, which means one who is completely body, soul, and mind surrendered unto the Lord. For that devotee, this applies. So we have to now judge ourselves where we are. If we all think, if I think that I am in that level, then yes, I can stop. But yes, the decision is very individual, right? So one, and it's not, obviously it's not the externals. Internally, how persons are. Somebody may be a very casual devotee, but internally he may be really surrendered. So that's what matters. So our consciousness and our internal surrender and total surrender to the Lord applies here. Makes sense. Thank you. Yes, Mataji, the mic. Yeah, just 1 second. Wait for the mic, please, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the very nice class. I'm just a bit confused. Early on you mentioned about the brahmanas cursing people. And the brahmanas are meant to be peaceful and everything. So I'm just wondering whether I've got it right, thinking that the curse of a brahmana is a good thing because they're putting us on the straight and narrow. Is that what it is?
Yes. So thanks. Good question. So a brahmana generally is sama dama, shosham, very peaceful. Sama shama is peaceful. So a brahmana is very peaceful, and he generally does not go out of his way to curse. Having said that, when somebody is offending, somebody is a non-devotee and a real miscreant, and we have the example of King Vena. King Vena, he was such a despot. He was killing people. He was completely unfair. When he was young, he used to kill his friends just playing around. He would just strangle them. So such a demon he was. So the brahmanas in that case went to give him good counsel. But when he refused to listen, he said to them, "You are talking rubbish. I am God. You worship me." Then the brahmana saw no other way, and they cursed him to die. So similarly, when in extreme cases, the brahmanas will curse. And otherwise, also, we hear many, many pastimes in the Bhagavatam where the brahmanas have cursed. But sometimes, most of the time, those curses end up in a benefit. So those curses are for a temporary correction, but then end up in a benefit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been wondering that for a very long time.
Thank you so much. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.